Okay, this is January 20th, Small Value.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's nice to be here. It's also nice to see so many gods and goddesses. Now, I do hope that that is finally sinking through to everyone, that you truly are connected to this thing that we call God. And that is that connection is not only your consciousness, it's throughout your whole body. It's through every cell in your body. So try to remember that there's something else always going on. There's something there to rely on all the time. So with that said, I'll tell you about this operation. You can see it runs from behind my ear, goes up here because I had to make a flap, and then comes down here somewhere. And then there's some black and blue on my neck here. I don't know what that's from. But anyway, I'm in absolutely no pain. I was in never any pain whatsoever. They gave me all kinds of pain medicines to bring home. Well, I haven't taken any of them. You'll take the pain? I'll bring them to you. So I'm delighted. They did a marvelous, marvelous job. Now, here I am, a metaphysician. Why did I go to the hospital? Well, you have to realize that this thing called God is working through the doctors also. It's working through the doctors. So I was very glad and happy that these were wonderful people to talk to. They treated you very nicely. And my surgeon had very small hands, and I could affirm that they were the hands of God and that he knew exactly what he was going to do. Now, it was a cancerous tumor, and I'm not afraid of cancer. When I was a child, you weren't allowed to use that word cancer because only in a hushed tone because it was so powerful. I don't think that that's the case anymore. They are curing more and more things, and medicine is doing things. And I would like to be able to have enough power to do it myself. At the present moment, I'm not able to do that. So I do get help because that is out there and those people are God also. So I don't know if anyone remembers the story of Patty. Patty was drowning to death in his home. And they kept sending him a rowboat and a speedboat and a helicopter and everything else. He finally drowned. And when he went to heaven, he said to God, "Why didn't you help me?" And God said, "I sent you a rowboat, I sent you a speedboat, and I sent you a helicopter, and you didn't take that." The doctors are there, UCLA is there, the hospital is there. Take advantage of those things. Now, I don't go in there and hand my life right over to them. I, of course, prepare myself mentally and in consciousness. And I use my phrase that I always use, I can do all things through God which strengthens me. I was not one bit concerned or nervous or anxious or any of those things because I knew that this was something that came into my life to go out of my life. Now, many metaphysicians say, "Oh, why did it happen? Why did you get this? Oh my, you shouldn't have..." I never questioned those things. It was there. I knew how to get rid of it. I knew it came into existence to go out of existence. I'm not going to pile guilt and shame and all that kind of stuff and say, "Oh, well, I wasn't a very good metaphysician, or I've been able to do this myself." The whole idea in life is there are people out there to help you. You must let people help you. So, with that is how. And I also... And if you look at this, I want to ask a question. What are you looking at here when you see my scar?
Healing.
Well, you're seeing healing, but never look at this side of my face. Look at this side of my face. See, when I go to the mirror, I don't look at that. I look at this side of my face so that this side will become that side. And that's the whole idea in the Bible with Jesus. Never looked at the shriveled hand. You can't heal anyone if you look at the shriveled hand. Because you get interested in the shriveled hands, you always look at the well part. You see? And this is what I envision my face. He also said that I may be lopsided. I said, "No, I won't be lopsided. I'm not lopsided." they were afraid that I wouldn't, that this would drop down, and I, like I had a stroke, I said, no, that is not going to happen to me. So any of those things, precautions, or whatever they were trying to do, I just denied them, you know. And I would say to him, no, that doesn't happen to me, no. You'd be in severe pain. I said, no, I don't suffer from severe pain. I won't, and I haven't, you know. So it's all going to heal itself. It's all going to come right back to the where it's supposed to be. And I tell you that because there are metaphysicians out there that think, oh my, you know, you have to be able to heal yourself. That's an absolute wonderful possibility. And you can heal, and you will heal, and I'll heal faster than most people, you see. But I couldn't do that operation myself. I couldn't make it go away. So I use what's available, which is the idea of wisdom. That's the idea of wisdom. You have to use wisdom when you're doing these things. You can't be that adamant. Now, I also think that we can build ourselves up, that we're able to heal. A friend of mine just came back from Brazil. You know, the man John of God is in Brazil. And many people, 1,000 a day, flock to John of God. He's a healer, and he's able to heal. He went for her neck. Now, whether it's healed or not, I do not know. But the thing to keep in mind is, if John of God can do it, you can do it too. You see, that's just the whole idea of this man named Jesus, remember? You can do this in greater things. You can do these things. We just have to keep working on it so that we're able to do it and not fall in. When I went to the hospital, I don't fall into all that stuff that's going on out there. I mean, that's a whole city of sick people. It's just incredible, you know. So you have to sort of maneuver yourself through all that and affirm that you are going to heal and be put back to perfection because you came from perfection. So you will watch this over the week, how fast this is going to heal. There's been nothing, no infection going on, and there's no blood or anything. Like, I lay on this side at nighttime to sleep. The pillow is completely clean. So I think that means a great deal. So you will have to remember and keep those things in mind. And I think it's wonderful that you can go, that this man called John of God is out there. I think it's very funny that a metaphysical church took a bunch of people down there, you know, was sponsored by a metaphysical church to go to Brazil to meet John of God instead of saying we can stay home here. The other person who was healed by John of God, which you will all know, is Wayne Dyer, that he was healed from, I think he had leukemia, but he was healed remotely. So healings can take place, and we can learn to do it ourselves. We're very busy with other things. You have to really concentrate. That's all this man does. Now, if you could just sit all day and that's all you did, you would be able to do it quicker and faster and all that. So don't ever punish yourself if something comes into your life. Know that it came into your life to go out of your life. And did it teach me a lesson? I never look at things to teach me a lesson, you know. Why? Because I know God doesn't do that kind of stuff. God never punishes anybody, you see. The other thing about looking at this guy by the name of John of God, the other thing we have to remember is God does not show favorites. If John of God can do it, we can all do it also. There's nobody special. The woman that called me today, my friend Devin, was telling me that, you know, some power comes to him and this comes to him and I don't know what, you know. Well, that may all be true, but that same power comes through all of us. It's the same power. He doesn't have any power that we don't have. He may have learned how to use his energy differently, That is all. And we can all learn to do that. Now, with that said, I want to also talk about my brother and his wife called last night to see how I was doing, and I said, just fine. And they went in, they were out with my cousin. My cousin Doug is an undertaker. He's married to a lady by the name of Marna, who was in my high school. She was in my grade, in fact. And Patsy was in my grade in school. Now, there's Jack, my brother, is starting his 40th year in the flower business. He has a flower shop. Very successful all these years. If anyone knows anything about small businesses and so forth, most small businesses can't last 5 years. Most small businesses go out before 5 years. He's been into his 40th year. So he has to know what he's doing. But here's the kicker. As I tell you, the land of Nod, that's why I do not go back there. So Patsy's on the phone and she said, well, we went out to eat and then we came back here for dessert. And I made a shoe fly cake. And she says, you know, it really wasn't as good as I wanted. I said, who knew that? I said, did you tell them it wasn't any good? Well, she said, you know, Marna is such a good cook. I said, Patsy, you're an excellent cook. Why would you say that you're not a good cook or that she can cook better than you? Well, she said, you know, Doug and Marna have such self-confidence, and Jack and I do not. Can you imagine? She's turned 70. My brother's, January 13th, he turned 72. And at their ages, they still don't have, they've never worked on their self-consciousness. Now, why do I tell you that? Because a husband and wife who have children, if a husband and wife have low self-esteem, it's absolutely impossible to raise a child with high self-esteem. Absolutely impossible. So then they wonder why their daughter goes through all this kind of stuff and does all this. You have to build your self-confidence. Now, the other reason why I'm bringing that up is because these are the two that are in church all the time. So I think the church has failed them. That's the church that you have to stand up and say, I am unworthy. You know, you are not unworthy. Please don't do that. And don't be in a church. If you are suffering from low self-esteem, you can work on that. You can ask this thing called God to come through you. You do not, and that's a label that you have given yourself. You can start out with low self-esteem, but you can build your self-esteem by doing things and by telling it. But if you're telling yourself constantly that you have no self-esteem, that you can't do things the way other people do things, you're not going to build that. And that's a horrible way to go through life. And it's so disappointing to me that they're in church all the time, and that that church, to me, it seems to me, religion, if you want to go into religion, it should build your self-esteem. It should build that, at least. If nothing else, you should get self-esteem from it. They're not getting self-esteem. How do you function every day without self-esteem? So don't do that to yourself. This teaching, if it does nothing else, teaches you self-esteem. It teaches you to respect yourself. It teaches you how magnificent you are. It teaches you that you have power, that you have strength, that you can accomplish things, that you can do things. No other religious organization that I know of. Now, I understand that Scientology says they do that, but I'm not familiar with Scientology, nor do I wish to be familiar with Scientology. But don't be around an organization that does not teach self-esteem. And if anyone's tearing you down or anything, get away from them. Do you remember Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make you feel inferior except yourself. If you accept it, then you're doing it to yourself. So we're always doing everything to ourselves. Do not do that to yourself. Build your self-esteem. So then when I was on the phone, my brother was telling me that his grandchild is such a good painter and had done, was doing this and that and the other thing, artist. And I said, oh, isn't that wonderful? Maybe he'll become a wonderful artist. And he, I said, well, we don't want him to become an artist. Because that's that old thing. There's no money in it. So, you know. So here's a guy, I'm going to sit down and write the young kid. Tell him if I leave you any legacy at all, I hope it's a legacy that you'll go do what you want to do. And if you have talent, take advantage of that talent and do something with it. So there is that whole one, I call it the land of nod, but that's not only back there in Pennsylvania. That's all around, people doing the same thing over and over and over and not building self-esteem and so forth. You see. So build your self-esteem. And if you don't think you have any, start and say, I do have self-esteem. And then compliment yourself on all the wonderful things that you know how to do. That's the only way you're going to build self-esteem. And I didn't even get into it with my brother because there's no way he's going to hear me. And there's no way it's going to sink into him. You have to do that for yourself. You have to do that for yourself. This teaching will teach you to love yourself, to respect yourself, and it will teach you a different way to go through life. I do not want to go through life being around people with low self-esteem. The conversation, everything is completely different when you're around people like that. Do not put yourself in that situation. Get rid of those. We have a young lady that used to come here and said every morning she went for coffee. And the people tore her down and said nasty things to her. And I said, well, don't go there anymore for coffee. She said, oh, no, they're my friends. I have to go. Well, they're not your friends. They're not your friends. You want to stay around people that lift you up, that expand you, that tell you how wonderful you are. There's nothing wrong with that. And they, in Pennsylvania, they do not do that. They do not tell anybody that they're wonderful because you may then get a big head or whatever it is that you're going to get. Now I'll tell you a quick story and then I'll talk about something else. Years ago, a lady moved into town and she sent her children off to religious science. When they came home for Sunday school, the mother said, well, what did you learn? And they said, we learned wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. And the mother said, well, you're not going back to that church again. Because they don't want, you know. That's, so don't do that to yourself. This teaching is not teaching you that. Okay? So, now, the topic is small value. And here again, if you have low self-esteem, you have a low value of yourself. And you must raise up in consciousness and have a high opinion of yourself. There is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And when you're around people who have a high self-esteem and like themselves, don't you feel better? It's much better for you. So, anyway, having a small value about yourself will only give you a small value. You have to think bigger and better thoughts about yourself. Bigger and better thoughts about the world itself. And about this thing that we call God. Whatever that is, whatever you think that is, there is a wonderful power out there that is in us and through us and doing things for us. So remember that. Remember that. So back to my face and this incision, I am not one bit upset with it. I'm not that vain or anything. And I know, he said to me, oh, you'll have a scar. And I immediately said to him, my body doesn't scar. My body does not scar. You wait and see. This will all just vanish. You'll never even be able to see him. Now, why do I say that? Because I know that my mind is controlling my body. My body is not controlling my mind. And if you buy into that and you say my body does this, that, or the other thing, it's going to. Now, he said I'd be all completely black and blue. And I said, no, I don't think so. So when he had these two black and blue marks here, which I didn't even know were there, by the way, somebody else pointed them out to me. I said, well, I was looking in the mirror, but it must have been the shadow. I didn't see it. So anyway, it's what you're telling yourself constantly. It's what you're telling yourself. And you can learn to control your thinking. You can learn to control your mind. You have to know that. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And it is a wonderful tool. And it takes some time to do that for yourself so that you are able to think great things about yourself. The mind is not going to do that for you. It is immediately going to attack you. It is immediately going to tell you no, because we have these thought atmospheres around us all the time. And it's a consensus. And we do not want to buy into that. We want to say, I am a world unto my own self. You see, I am the one that's creating my universe right here and right now. And this is the way I want my world to work. If somebody else wants their world to work that way, I let them have that. And if everybody wants that, that's fine. I do not have to buy into any of those things. And that has to do with value. I value myself. I value my life. And I certainly value this mind. For years, I did not value my mind. I thought it was defective. And now I realize it was never defective. I was the one that was causing all of that. So I have learned to change my thinking about myself and about life itself. And that's what this teaching is all about. It's as simple and easy as that. You can think that it's about talking about God. It's talking about this, that, or the other thing, mine. And it is talking about God and mine. But the main thing you want to realize is that it's about you. And how are you feeling? What are you thinking? And it's all right. You see, you like this, the saying, you don't have to believe every thought that you think. You
I told that to somebody today.
Yeah, you don't have to believe every thought you think. There's just thoughts going. Pick the one that you want. If a thought comes in that you don't like, say to yourself, well, I'm not going to think that. That's craziness, you see. It's learning to fine-tune so that you are able to hear a different reality and that you're able to see a different reality. That other reality absolutely does exist, you see. But it's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. So when you have a small value about yourself, that is all you're going to get from life, is that value, you see. That's that whole idea of the mental equivalent. You must build in your mind what you want to see. And that's an easy one. You just tell yourself that every day. Tell yourself how great you are, how marvelous you are. Tell yourself what power you have, what strength you have to get through all these things. And you don't... You can if you want to get down on your knees and pray to this thing called God. All well and good. I'm never taking that away from anybody, but it's not needed. What is needed is confidence in your own self to be able to do these things. Confidence in yourself. And you can build that confidence. So if you came from a family, you see, with low self-esteem, it may be a little bit more difficult. But it can be done. My brother and sister-in-law have no idea that that can be done. They have two children. They have two children, and I swear that their one boy, they have a boy and a girl, the boy is clinically depressed. They never notice that. They never notice that he's completely clinically depressed. Why? Because they go by appearances. His shirt is always pressed and cleaned. His shirt is always pressed and cleaned. Therefore, he must be all right. It's wonderful to have a pressed and clean shirt, but that's not who you are. And that's not going to make you who you are. Your mind is going to make you who you are. Your mind is going to make you who you are. And your mind is yours to use. You can use your mind to bring about the effects that you want. You do not have to go to talk therapy. You do not have to talk to other people. You have to sit down and talk to yourself and say, listen here. Here is what I want to be. Here's the way I want to think. And I want a bigger value of myself. And you will obtain that. You will obtain that. And you will feel better about yourself. So anyway, no, Scott wasn't here. So this whole thing with my sister-in-law on the phone boiled down to the idea, what was giving her lack of self-esteem? A shoe fly cake. That's your life, a shoe fly cake, and that's going to determine how you feel about yourself? Is that not ridiculous? Can you see how ridiculous that is? That's the way they think in that neighborhood. You know, that's the way they think in that neighborhood. Don't do that to yourself. You know, if the cake didn't taste good, throw it out and bake another one. That's all I can tell you. But 10 to 1, she'll be telling everyone, I don't think the cake was very good, you know, instead of forgetting it. You know, if I cook all the time, I never say to somebody, I don't think this is good. You know, most people don't know. You know, they're delighted you cooked something for them. They don't know that. And certainly, a cake is not what is causing my self-esteem. It can't be. It just can't be. But to them, the cake, a cake, did her in. Can you imagine? Took her right down the tubes. That's ridiculous. You can't do that to yourself. Pick yourself up. Start all over again. But have a bigger value of yourself. And we have small values of ourselves. Don't have a small value of yourself. And if somebody wants to tell you that you don't have a good value about yourself, say thank you very much. That's your opinion. That's not mine. And I don't think I want to see you anymore. No. You have to. Why would you stay around people like that? That boggles my mind. Do not go back to those people. And keep your mind. Build your mind. Build your thinking. And we all had different things. We were told different things. You know. When I talk to those people in Pennsylvania, they always say, well, they never say, Dallas, you're not creative. But they say, they never say, you are creative either. You see. Because they have no idea what that is. You see. And they have no idea. We're all creative people. Every one of us. You see. And you have to tell yourself that. I am a creative human being. When you get up every morning, say to yourself, I am creative. And then creativity will happen for you. But it doesn't happen if you don't think you're creative. Everything starts in mind. So you have to start that process of thinking correctly. First thing in the morning, I never get out of bed before I do my affirmations. I do not get out of bed. I do my affirmations. If I wake up during the night, I do affirmations. You see? That's that whole idea of Paul saying, pray without ceasing. You must constantly be praying without ceasing. So, no small value for yourself. Give yourself a raise in consciousness. Raise yourself up. And learn to see a different reality. Learn to see the reality that you want, you see. You must see the reality that you want. That's why I do not look at this side of my face. I look at this side of my face. And that's going to create the reality that I want. And that we have with the problem with that always. When we're doing prosperity and abundance, because most people are thinking thoughts of lack and limitation. You cannot think lack and limitation if you want prosperity. You cannot spend any time on lack and limitation. Lack and limitation is an out and out lie. This is an abundant universe that we live in. Now, when I use the word abundant, people think, oh, that means tons of money. That does not mean tons of money. It can mean tons of money. But you have to look around and say to yourself, look at the abundance that there is around here. Here on the streets, if you ever notice the beautiful ficus trees that are out there is no way you could ever count the leaves on those ficus trees. There are that many leaves on those ficus trees. It's incredible. That is what I'm talking about when I say abundant. And you're one with that abundance. And there's where we get ourselves into trouble. Well, we separate ourselves from those things. And we say the tree is abundant with leaves. But I'm not one with that tree. Well, you certainly are one with that tree because you're one with all life. And the life of God is coursing through that tree. That tree is being God the same way as I'm being God. So, that same life, there's not two different lives, there's only one life coursing through everything. And you're one with that. So you have to be one with abundance and prosperity. And you have to see that all the time. You have to see that going on. Once you see that, it will occur for you. It will happen one right after the other. Okay? All right. I have some cards, simply because I was convalescing this week. These are so true, and I may have done these before, but they're worth looking at again. The subconscious realm so defies all reason and logic that most scientists, scared to endanger their academic credentials, have more or less ignored the fact that life is nothing like what we pretend it to be. You know, we're just pretending this whole life. And when you're in any scientist or in academia of any type, they protect it. If you were in academia, and they would protect anything, wouldn't they? Yes, they don't want to change that. So they perpetuate the lie. They perpetuate the lie because they're afraid of their credentials. Why would you do that? But that's the way it is. So this idea that a subconscious realm, you have to know that there's a subconscious realm going on around you all the time. That's that idea of quantum physics and so forth. In quantum physics, the whole idea is it's a total field of possibilities that you're in. And you can pick any of those possibilities. You can pick any of those possibilities. Well, I'm talking about possibilities and all. This thing about, we talk always here about the idea of cause and effect. And we say, well, the cancer, cause. Cancer was the effect, but what's the cause? I have no idea what the cause is, but I can pull any cause I want. And that's what most of us do. You see? We just pull a cause down so that we have them matching each other. A cause and effect, and we talk about that. There's not one cause, you see. There are all kinds of causes. You're the one who pulls it down. What do I mean by that? I'm the way I am because my parents made me that way. You have no idea if that's true or not true. You've just pulled a cause. Stop pulling causes into your life. Say to yourself, I am the cause onto my own experience. I'm causing this. And pick the right cause. But we like, the mind likes to say, oh, this caused that. Even in traffic accidents, they say, oh, he caused it. That slowed down to cause that. This happened. You're just pulling causes. You're just pulling causes. Don't pull causes down. Don't pull them down. Let them where they are. Okay? Humans decide in advance how we're going to experience life. That we choose beforehand what we want to see. So, what do you want to see? You see? It's not what's in front of you. What do you want to see? We're the ones. If you go to a party, you can on the way decide, I'm going to have a good time. Or you can decide, oh, I don't like any of these people, I'm going to have a horrible time. You see? But you're the one that's choosing that. So why would you want to choose the other one? Why would you want to choose to have a bad experience? You see? Choose always to have a good experience with everything. I had a wonderful experience in the hospital. I thought it was wonderful. I learned a great deal. I thought those people were fascinating. I'm as busy as a beehive. I don't know how they get all that stuff done. Aren't they? It's amazing. So I sit there and think, isn't this a wonderful adventure? And it is. It's all an adventure. And I'm safe, I'm sound, and I knew perfectly well that it wasn't going to be a bad operation or that I was going to die or anything like that. I never have any of those thoughts. I never have a thought about dying. Never. I never even think about death. I know that someday that will happen to me. But not today. Not today. And you can say that to yourself every day. Someday I'll die. Someday I will grow old. But not today. Not today. You see? That's how you must do that. The other thing to do to yourself is just to say, this is a wonderful life that I am living. And I'm enjoying every moment of this life. I'm enjoying every moment of this life. You see? Try these things. They absolutely work. You'll feel much better about yourself. Here's a good one. The universe doesn't exist without a perceiver of that universe. You can't prove that the universe exists unless you are perceiving something. It's what we're perceiving. And you can learn to perceive anything that you want, by the way, people. You can learn to do that for yourselves. This mind is a wonderful thing. We just have not been trained how to use it correctly. Learn how to do that. This one is, I'm sure, our friend Emmett Fox We cannot demonstrate beyond our ability to provide a mental equivalent of our desire. You have to have that equivalent going on in your thinking. You have to have, start thinking, what do I want? How will it feel? How will it smell? How will it taste? How will I feel once all the things that I want come into my life? You have to do that now. If you're waiting, it will never happen for you. It will never happen for you. I've read this one once before, and you know that one. And this one, consciousness itself creates the material world. It's your mind, your consciousness, that's creating the material world that we live in. Somebody had in mind this table before it became a table. Then it became a table. Now it exists as a table, but it started in consciousness. Consciousness creates everything. Your consciousness creates everything. So have a bigger value of yourself in your consciousness and create that bigger value. And I don't care where you start. You can start where you always have to start where you are at the present moment and build it up from there. And make it a game. Make it something interesting. Make it an experiment, you know. Make it an experiment. I'm going to try this, see if this works. Instead of just going along with the status quo and letting other people do all your thinking for you. Learn to think for yourselves, people. Learn to think for yourselves. You could do that. And you don't have to be a genius, by the way, to be able to do any of these things. So many people think, oh, I'm not smart enough to do that. You're plenty smart. Then start telling yourself how smart you are. Now, here is one that I love. Even the two main fundamentals of physical reality, space and time, are not what they seem. These two physical mainstays are nothing but extremely convincing optical illusions. Extremely optical illusions. It's an optical illusion, people. What are we seeing with people? Your mind. You're always seeing with your mind. The eyes have nothing to do with it whatsoever. And we're never taught that. We're taught that we're seeing with our eyes. We don't see with our eyes. We see with our mind. When I say that we see with our mind, what does that mean? That means the beliefs that you have, the viewpoints that you have, are causing what you are seeing. You see? And you can change your beliefs, you can change your viewpoints, you can change your opinions. You can change any of that. When you change those things, you see things differently. And that's how we prove that we do not see with our eyes, we see with our minds. A law has been set in motion which says, I am poor, and sees it that this is so. This is at first an auto-suggestion, then it becomes an unconscious memory. Working day and night. This is what decides how the law of attraction works. For us, the law of attraction and repulsion are entirely subjective. Our use of them may be conscious to start with, but it becomes subconscious as soon as we use it. It goes into your subconscious mind. We have to remain conscious of what we're saying, what we're doing, what we're looking at. That's the whole idea of becoming aware. And the idea about becoming aware, everyone wants to become aware, everyone wants to become enlightened. That merely means to notice what you're doing. That's all that means, to notice. Most people do not notice what they're doing. They do not notice what they're saying. You have to notice what you're doing and what you're saying all the time. And that's pure Buddhism, by the way, to notice. Become aware. All that you want to be, you already are. All that you have to do is move your awareness there and recognize the reality of your own soul. Recognize the reality of your own soul. Move your awareness to that. I have everything I need. Move your awareness to that. Done with mind, people. Mind, mind, mind. What is held in consciousness until it becomes a part of the subjective side of thought tends to take place in the world of affairs. That's Ernest Holmes, I know that. What is held in consciousness until it becomes a part of the subjective side of thought tends to take place in the world of affairs. So what you think about, you bring about. It's that easy. What you think about, you bring about. What are you thinking? What are you telling yourself all day long? What are you telling yourself all day long? Are you telling yourself wonderful things? Or are you allowing your mind to tell you, well, you don't have it yet. You didn't get it yet. You need something else. You need this. You need that. You must tell yourself, I need nothing. I have everything that I need. Everything is right here. I need nothing. All my needs are fulfilled instantly at the moment of my request. At the moment of my request. So, what does that tell you? In the Bible, it says, pray, believing, and it will be so. Pray, believing, and it will be so. It's done with your belief system. So you don't have to run off to Brazil to John of God and all that. You may do that, please. But you can say, I have the same power that this man has to heal people. And I can heal myself. And if you're afraid to tell people that you're a healer, that you want to heal other people, tell yourself that you're a healer and you heal your own self. You see, most people think if you're a healer, you're out healing people. You're a healer when you can heal your own self. Then you become a healer. But we're always waiting for somebody else to heal us. Now, I did not wait for the doctor to heal me. I couldn't do the operation myself, though I said to him, you know, I could probably go home to my kitchen and use a grapefruit spoon and get this out of here. He said, oh, I wouldn't try that if I'd be you. He had the technique. He had the technique. I'm doing the healing. I'm doing the healing. And that's what you have to tell yourself. I am a healer. I am healing myself. And that does not mean people just physically. That means spiritually. That means emotionally. I'm healing myself from these things. They no longer are a part of me, and I no longer want them to be a part of me. I don't want low self-esteem. I could have low self-esteem if I'd have stayed in the land of Nod. I would probably not be here. My self-esteem would go so low. Don't do that to yourself. Heal yourself. Know that you are a healer and that you're healing yourself right here and right now. You have to do that for yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to do that. Use all of these different things, but know that you're the one that's in control. You're the one that's doing it. I thought the doctor was marvelous. He had the techniques, he had all that. But I'm the one that's doing the healing. You see? I'm the one that's doing the healing. If I wait for the doctor to heal me, my God, it could take years. Could take years. No person whose entire time is spent in the contemplation of limitation can demonstrate freedom from such limitation. You must tell yourself every day, I am unlimited. There is nothing that holds me back. The only thing that can ever hold you back is your thinking, is your mind. There is nothing else out there doing it. Nothing else out there doing it. To remember Rhoda, she loved that Rumi saying, why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? And we put ourselves in that prison. We say, I can't. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. Experience, money, whatever it is, that's putting you in a prison. And you're the one that closes the doors. The doors are always wide open. Always wide open. So do that. Now, last month we talked about knock and the door will open. That means knock on your own consciousness and open up your consciousness so something can come in. The door must be open. And you do that by knocking on that so that the door opens. And the door will open, you see. And the door always opens inwardly, by the way. It does not open in the other direction. The door always opens inwardly. So, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. And knock and the door will open. We've heard this all our lives. And it's true. Those three things are absolutely true. But you have to keep applying them. You don't. You give up, you see. And we don't give up. Or we go to a brand name church and think that they're going to teach us something. And they're not going to teach a damn thing, I can assure you. No matter what may be in the subconscious state of our thought, the conscious state can change it. See, so many people are worried about what's going on in their subconscious mind. We have been taught that the subconscious mind does this, this, and this. But it's the conscious mind that changes the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is a servant. It has no power to deduce anything. It cannot. But the conscious mind can. So if you have something that you think is in your... And I often do this. I used to do this. I haven't probably said to you. This idea of the subconscious mind. Oh, deep, deep, deep in your subconscious mind. All this stuff has to come out of the subconscious mind. Put your finger up like that and put it to your head. How deep can the subconscious mind be? Can't be very deep. You can change whatever's in there with the conscious mind. And you do that with affirmations. You do that by changing your thinking. And the subconscious mind must obey that. So when people say, oh, the subconscious mind's doing all this to me, please, it's doing nothing. If you put it in there and let it run automatically, it may be doing something, but it's not doing anything right now. Oh. Let your thoughts of love become the driving force behind your unloving behavior. Let your conscious thoughts of love become the driving force behind your unloving behaviors. And I'm going to stop with that one because it tells you exactly what is right there. It's all done with love. And it's done with love of yourself. So if you want a bigger, better value of yourself and not this small value, you must start to love yourself. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. You cannot overdo that one. You can never overdo that. It all is love. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.